Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. We are in Ephesians chapter 6. We're finishing up a sermon series on spiritual warfare this morning. And it has been a great study, has it not? We've learned that there is a battle going on. There is a war being waged in the unseen world. And we have been calling the forces of good and the forces of evil, we've been calling the forces of evil the dark side. And the dark side has a dark ruler whose name is Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him. And then he's got millions of dark helpers. And they have one goal in mind: to defeat God's plan and God's purpose for your life. There's a battle going on. It's raging. And the dark side is after the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. But we have learned that we can have victory over the dark side. And that victory comes through, first of all, claiming the power of the Lord and the provision of the Lord so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And then last week we loaded your wagon up, didn't we? And we learned that you've got to put on the whole armor, all of it, of God. Need to buckle up with the belt of truth. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Need to put on those gospel shoes of peace. We need to pick up and lift up that shield of faith. And we need to put on the helmet of salvation. And we need to grab and use the sword of the Spirit. Yeah. Y'all remember that? Yeah. And so we can have victory over... Gene, it's good to have you and Mike back. God bless y'all. Pardon me, I've got ADD this morning. So... Anyways, we can have victory over the dark side. Now, if you have found Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, would you stand as we honor? We hadn't stood a lot this morning, so we're going to stand in honor of God's Word. And we wind up there at verse 18. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Praying how often? With all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. You see how many times the little word all is put in there? Let me go ahead and read 19 and 20. And Paul says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray together. Father, we are needy people this morning, and we are in need of you. Your power, your provision, your help, you're our hope. And so God, as we talk about our secret weapon this morning, I ask God that you would help us to apply it to our lives, that we'd be obedient as soldiers in Christ Jesus. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're talking about our secret weapon this morning. Maybe the most powerful weaponry that you have in your arsenal is the weapon of prayer. It may be the most important, powerful tool that you have. Now, you can't separate the prayer from the Word. They go together. And you know what? I'm just going to tell the truth. I'm just going to be bluntly honest with you this morning. This thing we call prayer is the least used weaponry in our arsenal. A lot of Christians don't know hardly anything about prayer. Are you mad yet? I'm telling you the truth. And those that do know something about prayer, we don't use it as often as we should or like we should. And having said that, I want to say this. Have you ever found it in just hard to pray? You know who's behind that? Yeah, the dark side, the dark ruler. He doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want you to pray. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the dark side shudders and trembles every time God's children pray. They don't want us to pray. And so, bless God, they're going to pull out all the stops. When you think about Jesus, you remember what He spent a lot of His time doing? Praying. The Bible says He prayed continually, He prayed constantly to His Heavenly Father. Now, if Jesus spent time praying, hello, what should we do? Pray. It's our secret weapon, and we're going to learn how to use this weapon called prayer. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't wait. Ooh, mercy. You're fixing to get a boatload of prayer. Now, we're just going to use this one little verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Okay? Now look what he says here. He says, praying always with all prayer. You know what that says to me? We ought to pray regular. We ought to pray regularly. Y'all understand what I mean when I say regular? We're talking about prayer. Okay? Prayer ought to be like eating. Morning, noon, and night. We ought to pray all day, every day. Matter of fact, I believe it's 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. We're to be in an attitude and an atmosphere of prayer all day long. We ought to pray each and every day, all day. Well, why is that? Because the moment you quit praying, guess what? You are open from an attack from Satan. He knows when you're weak. And I want to tell you, when you're prayerless, you're at your weakest point. A prayerless time is a perilous time. Ooh, you better write that one down. A prayerless time is a perilous time. When we quit praying and we're not men and women of prayer, man, Satan, the dark ruler, has an open... Your life is just an open bullseye for him to hit with his heavy artillery. Now, how do you get in this attitude, this atmosphere? How do you pray all day long? Well, it begins in the morning, like Jesus, in your prayer closet, your time alone with God. And then as you come out of that prayer closet, you have this attitude and atmosphere. You're in this mode of prayer all day. And Satan is going to keep you from doing that. He wants to. And you know, he'll make you busy. How many of you get so busy you just leave prayer out? Come on now. He'll make you busy. He'll make you tired. Oh my. He'll make you feel guilty about not praying. That's what he does to me. And then he'll get you distracted. Are y'all like me? You'll get in your prayer time and all of a sudden the kids are fighting at the other end of the house. You get distracted. And then the phone will ring. You're trying to pray. The cat will fall into the aquarium. I mean, whatever it is, Satan will try to distract you and keep you from prayer because he knows that's where the power of the Christian life comes from. Prayer is our power source. Now, having said that, let me just give you, this is what helps me, and you need to figure out what helps you. Stay constantly in prayer all day long. I begin my day, try to begin my days in prayer, in just me and Him, and sometimes it's like, man, the Spirit of God is thicker than peanut butter in my study. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, the manifest presence of God shows up. And then other times, it's like God's a million miles away. But I want to tell you, He's still right there. The Bible says He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so, but here's what helps me. Praying out loud. Praying out loud keeps me focused. It keeps me on task. There was a little old lady that was driving beside me, and we pulled up at the stoplight. Guess what I'm doing? I'm praying out loud. She can see my mouth moving, you know? And she looks over there at me, and she must think I'm the craziest thing she's ever seen. But praying out loud helps me to stay focused. And I remember one Sunday morning early, I was in the prayer closet at our we'd built a prayer closet on our sanctuary in another place, another time. And I was praying out loud. And it was a big day for our church that day. And I mean, I was really coming against Satan and praying as loudly and as fervently and passionately as I could. I was by myself. And all of a sudden, the prayer door flies open. And it's one of our security people who'd gotten there early to turn the lights on and unlock all the doors. And he stuck his head in there and he said, "Oh, it's you. I thought something was wrong." I said, "There is something wrong. I'm tired of Satan having victory here." And so praying out loud helps me to stay focused all day long. How many of you, I know this happens at our house quite often, we lose things. Hello? And so finally, after getting so frustrated, we'll finally say, "Lord, help us to find this thing." And you know what? 99% of the time, we'll find it. Praying out loud. Whatever you've got to do, you've got to figure out what's best for you to keep you regular in your prayer life. And you stay in that attitude and in that atmosphere of prayer all day long. So we're to pray regularly. Say that with me. Pray regularly. And then we're to pray correctly. Look again at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We're to pray correctly. Praying correctly means that we're praying in the Spirit. We're praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 tells us that we're to pray in the Holy Spirit. So how do I pray? Well, my Pentecostal brothers and sisters believe that praying in the Spirit is using some type of magical, mystical prayer language, praying in tongues. I don't believe that's exactly what we're talking about here. What I believe we're talking about, what it means to pray in the Spirit, is that my prayer life needs to be led by the Spirit of Almighty God. We just turn control of every facet of our lives over to Him and allow Him to move and Him to speak and Him to lead in my individual prayer time and in our corporate prayer time together. That's what that means. And the whole, you know, sometimes it's just before you start praying, you just need to get quiet and let a holy hush fall over the room. Say, "Holy Spirit, have your way. You know the mind of the Father much better than I do. Lead this time of prayer." And then you know what the Spirit of God begins to do? He begins to create the prayers in our heart that He wants us to pray. How many times have you been praying and all of a sudden somebody's face pops up in your head? How many times you've been praying and all of a sudden there's some situation and circumstance that you'd forgotten about, but boom, there it is, and you need to pray for that? Well, that's Spirit-led prayer, see? And so the Holy Spirit, as we pray, is involved in our prayer time. And He enlightens our hearts and our heads and empowers our prayer language. Turn with me to Romans 8, would you? Turn left in your Bible a few pages. Romans 8. Don't miss this. praying in the Spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Y'all, it's just a few pages over to the left from where we are. Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Did you hear that? For we do not know what we should pray for as we might. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so there are seasons. I mean, have you ever been in your prayer closet, in your prayer time, and you know there's something, and you just don't know how to pray or even what to pray? Ever been there? Well, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. That's when the Spirit of the Lord Jesus that reigns within us and rules within us and lives within in us, He begins to make intercession. He intercedes for us on our behalf, the things that we need to pray for in groanings and utterings that we can't even understand. And He takes those prayers all the way to the throne room of God. And hallelujah, when that happens, you're going to get an answer to prayer. And so the Holy Spirit has an integral part in prayer. Our prayers need to be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And by the way, that's the way we are to be also. Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. And so that's how to pray correctly. We're to be praying in the Spirit. Say that with me, praying correctly. Pray correctly. All right, here's the third one. We need there it is. Being watchful, back to verse 18. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. We need to pray persistently. Pray persistently. Say that with me. Pray persistently. How many times have you been praying and you just get discouraged? I've been praying for this for years and you just give up. You know what Luke 18:1 says? Men ought always to pray and not lose heart. I've been praying for two family members for 36 years that they'd come to Christ. They haven't come to Christ yet. But I'm like an old bulldog. I'm just hanging on. I'm going to keep praying. And whatever it is you're praying about, you need to continue to pray. Pray persistently. Sometimes God builds our faith when He doesn't immediately say yes to our prayers. And so we need to pray. Turn over to Matthew with me. This is a great verse, great passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7. I want you to look at these verbs here. Matthew chapter 7. We've read this together before. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Somebody say amen. Amen. This is a promise from God. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Praying persistently. The tense of the verbs there means to keep on asking. To keep on seeking. To keep on knocking. We need to pray persistently. What is it that you're praying about that you've been praying for a long time and you hadn't got an answer yet? Well, the Bible just says keep on praying. Stay with the stuff. You know, let me share something personal with you. If God had answered all my prayers, I'd be in a mess. Sometimes you pray amiss. Sometimes you pray out of wrong motives and wrong desires. And when that happens, God says no. And when He says no, It's for my good. God's got something better when He says no. And by the way, how many of you know that God knows a whole lot more than we do? He knows what's best. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's why He's God and I'm not. So sometimes God says no, but hallelujah, sometimes God says yes. How many of you like yes? And when God, one person in here likes it when God says yes. Help us, Jesus. When God says yes, it's like Ephesians 3:20. He gives you abundantly, exceedingly, above all that you ask or think. He gives you more than you even ask for. Can anybody shout amen to that?
Amen.
God says yes. But oh, sometimes God says, when God says amen, you get yes. All right? Out of the mouths of babes. Sometimes God says wait. And boy, that's the kicker. You know, pastors are the most impatient people on the planet. And when I'm praying, man, I want God to say yes right now. But sometimes I need to let God work behind the scenes and speak to others and work in their lives before He can say yes. And so when God says wait, it doesn't mean no. It just says I'm working. Let me work. Let me do this thing. And when it's time, and oh, I've had to figure out, it's not about my timetable, it's about His schedule. And so whatever it is you're praying about this morning, and God hadn't quite answered yes or no, you just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Now's the time to say amen. All right. He's going to be my amen corner over here. Amen. So pray persistently. Say that with me. Pray persistently. And then I guess this is probably my favorite one. We need to pray inclusively. Look at the latter part of verse 18. And supplication for all the saints. I said, all the saints. Well, I don't like to pray for her. Sorry. We're supposed to pray for all the saints. All the saints. This morning, I don't know what time it was, sometime around 6 o'clock, I was praying for over 100 pastors that I know. We're to pray for all the saints. And not just the saints we put up with. We're to pray for everybody. All the saints. Billy Mills hadn't been with us in 2 months. And a lot of times, out of sight, out of mind. You know what I'm talking about? But this brother wouldn't let us forget him. He kept telling us on our Second Mile Facebook page, keep praying for me. Keep praying for me. And here he is today. Here he is today. We need to pray for all the saints. I want to ask y'all to pray for me. Even if you don't like me, pray for me. If I'm your brother, you got to put up with me forever. So you might as well pray for me. And you know, a lot of folks get mad at the pastor about stupid stuff. They really do. And you know, the best way you can get your way is to pray. Help me do things better. Pray. If we spend as much time praying for people as we do complaining about people, what could God do? This is a letter to me from our kids back here. And this really encouraged me. Can I read it to you? It doesn't really matter what y'all say. I'm going to read it anyways. Dear Brother Cal, as Paul wrote letters to Timothy, we wanted to write a letter to you. Here are some of the things we learned in Paul's letters that we want to say to you. We thank God for you, Brother Cal. We pray for you. We know that your faith is real and genuine. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Please keep sharing your testimony about Jesus with everyone. Rely on the power of God. Even though you left your church and part of your family to plant this church, we know that God will take care of you. Please keep your faith in God. Remember the things of God that you have been taught and that the Holy Spirit lives in you. All Scripture is inspired by God and can be used to teach people, remind them of God's laws, correct them, and train them to serve God. We pray for you, and we hope our letter encouraged you today. Can I just tell you, after I read this, I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. Pray for your pastor, whoever that might be. Pray for these children's workers back here. They're doing something 99% of y'all don't want to do on Sunday morning. Pray for them. Pray for our... We've got four middle school teachers, and somehow or other it worked out that they're all away from us this morning. And so you middle school and high school kids need to come in with Brother Billy today. Pray for our middle school and high school teachers. Pray for our worship team. Lydia's not here. Pray for her. She gets back. Pray for our media, our technicians back here. Pray for our church leadership team. Pray for one another. Pray, pray, pray for all inclusively. Now, Paul says something here, and there's more folks in the church that we can pray for. How many of you know we've got a ministry at Summit Heights now? We had 20 or 21 kids for our first kids' club meeting over at Summit Heights last Wednesday. We're partnering with the BCM. And September the 19th, is it, Betty? We're starting that women's Bible study. And we're going to have several women, probably 19 or 20 women for that. Pray for those that are leading those Bible studies and kids' clubs. Pray for those who are starting different ministries in our church. Pray. How many of you know we need to get on praying ground right now about Jesus and the General Jackson rally? We need to pray for one another, brothers and sisters. Put down, do you have a prayer list? Get a journal out, get a piece of paper and pencil, and start writing folks down that you need to pray for, and pray for them. I do this every Sunday morning. I pray for all the pastors that I know. And it takes a while to get through that prayer list, but I love praying for them. And then Paul says here in verse 19, "And for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains." That in it, you know what we need to pray for one another? That we would be bold in our witness. That we would get past this namby-pamby mess, and that we would be bold in our witness. That we would present the gospel. Just share. Has Jesus done anything for you? You can share your story. Well, I don't have a story. Well, let me lead you to Christ then. Share your story. Pray for one another. Be bold in our witness. That's why God left us here. So that we might share Him with others. How many of you are Star Wars or Star Trek people? You remember Scotty would, they would stand on this round-looking thing, and Captain Kirk and all of them, and then all of a sudden they'd just evaporate because Scotty did what? He beamed them up. Well, why didn't Jesus just beam us up when we got saved? So that we might share Him with others. Yeah. That's what this making disciples is what this is all about. Are you tired of me hammering on this? I'll stop when we get with it. All right? So we're to pray. Now, here's the best part. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We'll close with this verse. You don't want to miss this. Verse 25. Therefore, What's therefore, therefore? Therefore, He, speaking of the Lord Jesus, is also able to save to the uttermost. I've heard preachers all my life say Jesus can save people from the uttermost to the guttermost. He can save anybody. Those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Brothers, sisters, listen to me. There's somebody in heaven right now praying for you. I said, there's somebody in heaven praying for you. There is somebody in heaven praying for you. And that somebody is the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just clue you into this. If you're praying regularly, and you're praying correctly, and you are praying persistently, and you are praying inclusively for all the saints, and you're praying individually, and you're praying corporately, and Jesus is praying for you, how can you lose? You would have had to pay $335 for a seminar like that today. And God just gave it to you free. Jesus is praying for you. You're going to win. If you'll pray and claim His prayers, you're going to have victory in this life. And you're going to have victory in the life to come. So Second Mile Church, don't you think it's time we got to praying? It's our secret weapon. Just bow your head with me. Father, during this season of prayer, during this time of prayer, during this response time, during this invitation time as our musicians are coming, oh God, I pray that You'd bless this time. Lead people to an altar of prayer today. Not that they can't pray in their seats, but God, there's something special when two or three are praying because You're right there in the midst. And so during this time, Lord, I pray that You might move on us to become men and women of prayer. And if there is some here that have never prayed to receive Christ and take their stand for Jesus, oh, I pray that this morning might be the morning of salvation. I ask it in the name who's praying for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.